To Get a Grip Radio, brought to you by howtogetagrip.com.
Hello everybody, and welcome once again to How to Get a Grip Radio. I'm Matthew Kimberley. I write howtogetagrip.com, and I'm very, very happy to have on the line today Baker from Man vs. Debt. This is manvsdebt.com. Hi, Baker.
Hi, Matthew. Thanks so much for having me on. It's great to talk to you again.
And thanks so much for joining us. It's a real pleasure. I've been following you for a long time now, as have your huge army of adoring and raving fans. Would you mind, perhaps for anybody who is an avid reader of How to Get a Grip but doesn't know you, would you mind introducing yourself and perhaps a little bit of your backstory?
Sure. I'll try to keep it to like the 2-minute version. My story has a tendency to go into the 20-minute version, so you might have to cut me short. But essentially, my story starts as I just failed out of college and was in real estate. So I was a property manager. I just started a property management company, and I also sold short sales and foreclosures, which at the time in the U.S. market was very popular because we had just gone into our huge burst of our housing bubble. My wife at the time, or I guess my fiance at the time, was just finishing up college as a teacher. So she was finishing up her last year of college, getting ready to start teaching. I was just now getting into the real estate business and just starting to see, after a year of basically no money, just starting to see some success from different endeavors I was doing in different companies I was starting in the real estate industry. We were about $18,000 in consumer debt. We were about $50,000 in student loan debt. We found out that right after we got married, of which we financed that as well, and 3 months later we got pregnant. So my life at that time was a really, really, really big whirlwind. It was one of those like bang, 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 bang. We couldn't stop it, and unfortunately, we were irresponsible with how we were living our financial life and just the consumerist nature of how we were living our life. We were acquiring lots of stuff, and we were acquiring lots of debt, and we were moving too fast to really be conscious of our life. Luckily, the birth of my daughter, of course, that happens 9 months later for most, really allowed us to have sort of a wake-up call. It was our first child. It still is our first child. And when we brought her home from the hospital, we really introspectively looked at our lives. And for the first time, we were able to push the pause button on this like life path that we were pushing ourselves towards and say, is this what we wanted? You know, 2-3 years ago, we made fun of people who, you know, always upgraded their kitchen tables and always bought new TVs and always had to have the nicest stuff. We made fun of people who spent more than they earned and used credit cards and got in a debt. And when we looked up, that's who we were. And so we finally, with the help of our 2-day-old daughter, were able to smack ourselves out of it. And we made the decision that night that we were going to start living congruently and intentionally with what we wanted. And that involved for us paying off that $18,000 in consumer debt, the debt that was basically from unsustainable living, selling everything that we couldn't fit in 2 backpacks, and spending a year traveling what we wanted to be just in Australia, traveling abroad with our new daughter. And so that decision really changed our life. It set us on a lot of different paths. And a couple months after making that decision, I decided to document my journey versus debt on manversusdebt.com. And that's sort of how it all got started.
That's a great story. That's a great story, Baker. I too had a kid not too long ago, and I had a similar epiphany. And it led me to do something equally drastic. But I've got a question for you first. You mentioned that you paid off your debt. Why bother? I understand from, you know, business school teachings that debt is a pretty useful instrument.
Yeah, that's one sort of way. That's one sort of teaching and way to view the world. What we realized is when we made that decision, we did over the next year pay off the $18,000 in debt before we boarded a plane for Australia. We were able to accomplish that in a very short time frame. And for us, we finally realized that debt was a barrier in our life. That debt did not equal the sort of freedom that our society and our sort of you know, that our world was sort of selling us. We were supposed to, like you said, get into debt, leverage debt, you know, and build all these resources, or leverage debt now and buy all these cool things and you can pay it off later. And it's supposed to be a tool for freedom. But in so many people's life, and definitely in our life, it wasn't. It was the opposite. It kept us trapped in a certain life path. It kept us where we had to work jobs, where Courtney had to go straight from college into teaching because we couldn't afford for her not to, where I had to push for the next sale of the next house or push for the next client to manage his properties because we were living paycheck to paycheck. And we were living paycheck to paycheck because debt allowed us to tap into our impulses without really weighing our options. It was just that easy that easy slippery slope that we allowed ourselves to get into. So we said, you know what would be the most freeing thing in the world? To have a lifestyle where we didn't need debt. To have a lifestyle where we owed no person, not a penny. We owed nobody any single cent of money. And we were able then to choose with all of our income how we dictated that income. Our income wasn't already pre-sold out to all these different companies so that we could have a nice couch and a nice TV and a nice apartment. The freedom to distribute our income how we best saw fit at that one time was really the pull for us.
Got you. So what for the listener now, the reader of How to Get a Grip, who's taking in everything you're saying, is there any kind of debt that you would say is useful? I'm thinking specifically about perhaps getting a mortgage for your property rather than renting.
Sure. I'm not necessarily – first of all, we still have student loan debt. We decided to have a balance. We paid off our consumer debt, and we still have student loan debt, and we're continuing to pay that down, and we're also living our lifestyle, which involves travel. And so we're doing both at the same time. So I'm not just like, oh, my gosh, avoid debt and pay off debt at all costs, no matter what. I think there is a balance in life there. And like you pointed out, a mortgage is one case where I think it would be fine. Now, I will say as a caveat, most of us tend to get into trouble with mortgages because we get approved for $200,000 and we buy a $194,000 house. And that's not necessarily the best choice. If we're approved for X amount, we tend to push that limit. And it's that whole debt culture. It's that whole ideologically, that whole idea that's implanted into us that we can get this much. Well, heck, we might as well. And that's sort of the way we lived our life up to a certain point. So I'm not against getting an 80% mortgage with a 20% down payment, and understanding that if you're going to live there for 5 to 10 years, then that's usually a great that can be a great way that debt is used. But I basically draw the line right there. I've started multiple businesses, and I don't believe in leveraging debt to start a business. I don't believe it's necessary, and it hasn't been the best thing in my life. My debt-free businesses have been the best thing in my life. I don't believe in buying cars and things and leveraging those sort of things in debt either. So if you're talking about shelter and you do it responsibly, then I think that that's an okay thing.
Okay. And to take another specific, how about – we're going to come in a minute, Baker, to talking about crap and the accumulation of crap and kind of belongings and possessions. But let's say I've identified something which for me really isn't crap. It's an absolute must-have. It's going to improve the quality of my life. It's going to improve my health. It might improve my business. Can I take the payment plan?
Well, it depends. And I think that you have to really be honest with yourself. And the tough part of this is if you say yes, oh, of course, you know, definitely pay for it, you know, pay for it on debt or use a payment plan or whatever. If you say yes, it's a very slippery slope for most people. But on the other hand, let's say that I got sick or Courtney, my wife, got sick and she needed a $100,000 medical machine to help her. To help rehabilitate her, and the only option we had is debt. In a heartbeat, there wouldn't even be a decision. You know, I'd leverage anybody anywhere that would give me money. So I can't say that I would never use debt. And it's not about sort of being anti-debt, but I'm anti-consumeristic debt. So my definition of stuff and crap is anything is stuff. Let's start with stuff. Stuff is anything that adds joy, value, or purpose into your life. That can be a lot of things. And Matt, Matthew, your stuff is going to be different than my stuff. And crap is anything that we think does that, but actually usually pulls resources from us. It takes our time, it takes our money, it takes our mental stress to have it in our life. And that line is blurred for a lot of people. So again, if there was something that added joy, value, or purpose, and you were very clear and very sure, then I think that in life that you should go after it. If that involves a payment plan, then you should do it. If that's what's required and you are very honest with yourself. The problem is it's very hard for us to be honest with ourselves sometimes, and I think that's the slippery slope for most people.
That's interesting. So you've discussed stuff and crap in terms that I might think of assets and liabilities, albeit perhaps not so business focused.
Absolutely, though. Yeah, same sort of definition.
And to take a real cold nosed, hard nosed approach at looking at what's stuff and what's crap, you advocate making a list of everything you own.
Yes, exactly. That's very, very tough for people. And so most people can't imagine doing that from the get-go. And so you could break it down into one room, or you can break it down into personal possessions. A lot of people do this. So don't count for now. Don't count anything that's like joint. Don't count any cookware if you're in a family. Don't count any cookware, that kind of stuff. Just go with your personal possessions. So let's go. Your computer, your iPod, all your different sort of gadgets, all your collectibles, and just start to just try to get in touch with exactly how much you own. Because once again, it's one of those things that if we guessed how much we owned, we almost always underguess. But once you actually start to dig in and make a list, and you look down at this list and you're like, oh my God, like I cannot believe that I own this much crap, usually is what most people say, or most people tell me that they say. And that's exactly what we did. And so do we always dot our I's and cross our T's, and are we, you know, anal about having to have everything documented? No, not all the time. We go through spurts and phases just like everyone else. But that's a great way to like jolt your consciousness, if you know what I mean. I think it's the same thing with finances. If you write down every penny you spend, it's a great way to jolt your consciousness and go, this is what is happening. Not what you think. This is what is happening. It's on paper. The same thing with your stuff. If you put it all on a list, it's like, this is what I own. And you can start to then, you know, say, I'm getting rid of half of it. And you can go line by line and just saying, I don't need this anymore. It doesn't add joy, value, and purpose. I don't need this anymore. You know, it doesn't help me in any way. And then that's how we started to get rid of our stuff.
I looked at your suggestion to, you know, itemize everything you own, and I thought, fuck that. No way. Not even getting it started. That would take me the rest of the year. I took a try, although in that case, I'm sure it would be an excellent, a very important exercise for me to do. I did it the other way, and I went around and I identified crap room by room, and put that in a bag, and I threw it away and kind of gave it away. But then I realized that might not have been the best thing to do, because you advocate selling off a lot of your stuff. Isn't that just too much hassle for most people? I mean, who wants an old tatty book or you know, used kettle? What, are you going to make money off that?
And it depends. And that depends. Everyone's life, you know, everything, everyone's crap is different, I guess is a polite way of saying it. You know, everyone has different levels of stuff. And the other issue is a lot of people value their time at different amounts, for better or worse. So what I advocate is having thresholds. That's what I call it in my guides and in the post I do. So for example, Courtney and I right now in our life will rarely take the time to post anything under $20 on eBay. I can find the worth of an item fairly quickly within a couple minutes of research. So if I think that this is worth more than $20, I'll spend a couple minutes on eBay looking up past auctions. And in the guides I explain exactly how to do that. And I've done it enough where I'm pretty fast at it now. I'll just look it up and I go, oh, this might go for 30 or 40 bucks. You know, it's probably worth me throwing up on eBay, because, again, I have systems set up where United States Postal Service, and in the U.S., of course, the United States Postal Service will come to your house and pick up if you use Priority Mail. You can order it online. You can save money by ordering online. So there's a system that I use that makes listing this on eBay fairly painless. And I've done it enough where, you know, I've practiced enough where it's fairly painless. So my threshold is 20 bucks. Somebody who is really needing money right now to pay the bills might have a threshold of $5. Meaning that they're willing to invest time and list every item that could possibly net more than $5. If you're working on a really big project, Matthew, you may say, right now my threshold is 100 bucks. You know, I'm obsessed with this project. I'm spending time with my family. I just don't have any time. And so then anything under 100 bucks, you might decide I'm giving away to charity, or, you know, I'm going to recycle, or whatever you decide. So we have thresholds for each of the major sites here in the U.S. So Craigslist is a little bit – is about 20 bucks as well for us. And Amazon is actually 5 bucks, because Amazon, to list books and things here in the U.S., it's really simple. You don't have to upload a picture. You don't have to upload a profile. You just log in and be like, I have this book. I want to charge 6 bucks. Go. And then it's up forever. And so it's painless for us. So we're like, if it's more than $5, we should at least list it. I mean, it doesn't take us any time. And again, if we ship something through U.S. Postal Service, they'll actually pick up those books as well. So it's all about defining the system in your life, and it's all about determining what items are worth to you and what your time is worth. But it actually takes less time than many people think. And that's the whole thing. If you do it right and you follow the systems, it takes less time than you think. And some people can generate hundreds of dollars or even thousands of dollars of their stuff. We've made well over $1,000 on those different networks over the last 2 years.
That's awesome. That's awesome. But your leitmotif, Baker, is sell your crap, pay off your debt, and do what you love.
Mm-hmm.
Can I do what I love and still own a load of crap?
Likely. You may be able to. For us, the big thing is barriers. And it's what I call barriers to freedom is sort of my thing. For us, debt and clutter were huge barriers to our freedom. Does that mean I could have never started a website? I could have never traveled the world had I had a house full of stuff? Maybe I could. But living the lifestyle that I live right now and for Courtney and I intensely following our passions, it would be hard for us to do what we do now and have a house full of stuff and have two cars and have a mortgage. So there's always that, could I do it with this? Could I do it without this? Anyone can do anything, I think. So you could make enough money, you could generate enough buzz to have a house and travel. But for us, it came down to that choice. We can't have a lot of stuff and follow what is our passion. However, you have people like one of my friends, Joshua Becker. He runs a minimalist blog called becomingminimalist.com. And, you know, you got all these guys talking about, oh, I'm a minimalist. I travel the world. I work from my laptop. And it seems like this sexy dream for everyone. But that's not how our lifestyle is at all times. You know, for the last 6 months, we've been here in Indianapolis, Indiana. You know, there's nothing tropical or sexy about it. You know, we go with the ebb and flow. But Joshua just stays at home. He's got three kids. He just wants to have a positive effect in his community. And by having less stuff, he can use his home and his space to host get-togethers, to positively impact the community, to do fundraisers and things like that. And that's his lifestyle. He has no illusions of traveling. They still have a house full of stuff, but he's still very conscious about what he brings into his life because he understands that bringing crap into your life usually takes resources from you that you could be spending at things that are more in line with your passions, aka doing what you love. And so it's certainly possible, but I would advise people to remove any barriers in their life that they can so that they can focus more on what their passions are and what they want to do.
We're in the process of moving house at the moment. We're moving internationally from Brussels to Malta. And for those listening who don't know where Malta is, it's a small, very, very small island in the middle of the Mediterranean, sandwiched between Libya and Italy. And it's an international move. It's several thousand miles. And we said, we'll just take the essentials. At the moment, we haven't finished packing. We're at least 5 cubic meters of packing boxes. We're having to rent a van to get a crate. So I understand exactly what you mean by less crap equals more freedom. I'm with you entirely on that. In fact, the other day, I threw out 2 pairs of shoes. I waited for my wife to get home to give her the good news. And when she got home, I realized she had 3 new pairs of shoes in her shopping bags. So I think
you got to
focus on the balance, haven't you? You got to focus on the balance.
Yep, definitely. And I think there's a give and flow when you have a family and you're married as well. Sometimes Courtney is really gung ho and is just like, I'm like, slow down. And you know, right now, for example, I'm a lot more gung ho. I'm like, I need 5 things. Let's go. And she's kind of like, well, you know, let's take this and let's not get rid of that. And so there's a give and take. And but that's, I think that's a fun part of being a family. It's a fun part of marriage is kind of moving towards that goal in that like spiral of life where that give and take and sort of trying to get to the goal, but you're spinning all the way that you get there seems to be a fun part of this journey for us.
I found a new barometer for crapdom. One of the things I can't resist is buying stuff for my kid. He's just about to turn 1 year. And, you know, every time I walk past a shop that's full of tat, I can see that. It's crappy, it's plastic, it's rubbish. But I think, well, you know, he might quite like it. So I go in and I drop $5 or $10 or 10 euros or whatever it is. And I bring him home this piece of crap, which he adores for all of 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Boy, you've taught me a lesson.
So we used to joke on the road that we would just give boxes to Millie to play with. And she would just love them, like, you know, about that same age. Like, you know, we'd buy this thing for her. We'd open the box, and she'd play with the box for like 2 hours. Sure. And we'd just be like, all right, we're getting you cardboard boxes from now on. You know, that's what you're getting for your birthday. It's just funny how how we invest in our kids like that. And then sometimes it pans out. Like, she's got a stuffed animal that she loves, and she's got a blanket that she loves, of course. And we would never get rid of those things. But everything else in her life doesn't matter. It comes and goes. She just lives in the moment. And that's sort of a cool thing for us as parents to see and, I guess, learn from a little bit.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I know Sam's appreciation for toys is definitely secondary to his appreciation for mobile phones and remote controls.
Exactly, yep, same thing.
And things. So as long as it's got a battery and it's not meant to be played with, he's happy to play with it.
Exactly.
Baker, we're going to draw up. We're going to come to a close now. I want to say thanks so much for joining us. You've given the listeners and the readers of How to Get a Grip some very, very concrete actions for tackling the mountain of clutter, and also showed us why it's important. I wonder whether you've got any leaving thoughts for us. Do you want to plug your product, Sell Your Crap, which I know you're very proud of?
No. Well, with that kind of introduction, I guess I'll take you up on it. I mean, it's just it's a collection of guides. It's available on manversusdead.com. It's a product that I worked months and months and months on, and that people are getting really, really cool results with. So it's a why. It's not only the why that we talked about here, but it's also the how, which we touched upon. So there's modules for eBay, Amazon, and Craigslist, and a lot of it is applicable to different parts of the world, but it does focus on certainly the U.S. sort of North American market. So if it's something that you're wanting to invest in and be really aggressive about, I'm a firm believer that the guides will help you. And I have a guarantee: if you don't sell at least $100 worth of stuff or whatever that is in your currency, you can ask for a refund, no questions asked. So I mean, this is really about helping people get into action. It's 100% genuine, and if you decide that you want to invest in it, I'd love to hear from you and see how you're going in the first 30 days as well to help you get started. So that's the package I'm currently offering, and it's exciting. I'm proud of it.
And we're very proud of you, Baker. You rock. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thanks, Matthew. I'll come on anytime you'll let me. Just let me know.
You've been listening to How to Get a Grip Radio, brought to you by howtogetagrip.com.